Good morning, I'm Chris Oaks, and coming up today, should Findlay put out the welcome mat or put up a do not enter sign for legalized recreational marijuana dispensaries in the city? Mayor Christina Mern weighs in. Also this morning, special deals abound during Amazon's annual Prime Day sale, as well as some that you'd rather avoid. We'll talk about how to spot counterfeit merchandise and other scams that really aren't deals at all. And we may be talking about back-to-school shopping already, but summer ain't over yet. We have what you need to glam up and go for all the warm-weather adventures still ahead. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. So the Republican National Convention continues in Milwaukee. Of all of the speakers last night, I think Ron DeSantis got off the best line of the evening, maybe the best line of the convention. When all is said and done, this may be the best line of the convention, saying before the crowd of delegates, "We cannot afford another 4 years of a weekend at Bernie's presidency." That's a pretty good line. That's a pretty good line. So kudos to Ron DeSantis. But the big story out of the convention yesterday was the incident that occurred outside the convention security zone when a group of officers, police officers from Columbus, shot and killed a homeless man who was involved in an altercation with another individual. Apparently, the police witnessed the suspect, identified as Samuel Sharp Jr., threatening another individual with a knife, or maybe two knives. There are different, I've heard different reports how many knives there were, but with at least a knife. And they told him to drop the weapon. He refused, and so they opened fire. The investigation is ongoing, and you may be asking yourself why there were officers from Columbus, Ohio, involved in a shooting in Milwaukee, while they are part of a contingent of law enforcement officers from all over the country who have been brought in to help with the security for the Republican National Convention. Again, this happened just outside the security zone. The police were on bike patrol and witnessed the altercation, and that's when they stepped in to intervene. But it was quite the story yesterday out of the Republican National Convention. Let's see here. By the way, speaking of politics and things that have been going on in the world of politics, there was a lot made of the firefighter that lost his life in the shooting at the Trump rally in Pennsylvania on Saturday. And worth noting, I mean, one of the things that they talked about, he was very heroic in shielding his family from the would-be assassin's bullets, and that's when he was struck and killed himself. Another story of heroism coming out of that event, the son of the head football coach at UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio. The son of the head football coach at UTSA, Jeff Traylor, getting attention for his heroic action as well. Jake Traylor was covering the Trump rally as a campaign reporter for NBC News. And when the shots started ringing out, Mr. Traylor shielded Rachel Scott of ABC News with his body. Competing reporter who was standing next to him, and he shielded her from the bullets as well. Mr. Scott Ms. Scott, Rachel Scott, ABC later thanked Jake Traylor in a social media post, and I actually saw the video of that. I thought it was kind of interesting. I recognized Rachel Scott from ABC News, but the video was on NBC News, and I thought that was kind of interesting, and that's the story behind it. But that's all kinds of acts of heroism from that event. I'm sure that's not the last story we will hear involving heroism, people trying to protect other people, family members, even strangers from the would-be assassin there in Pennsylvania. So, interesting. And by the way, another kind of story that I saw in the Business Wire this morning I thought was really interesting. You know how when a popular musician passes away, suddenly their music is immediately popular? You know, when Prince died, all of his stuff went to the top of the charts. And, you know, whenever an artist passes away, Jimmy Buffett suddenly had a resurgence of popularity after he passed away. Well, Donald Trump, obviously he didn't die, and he's not a singer, but kind of the same phenomenon here. After the assassination attempt on the former president, Trump media shares are trading up 30% on the stock market. Trump Media, the parent company of social media platform Truth Social, has seen volatile trading throughout its entire existence, and especially since Donald Trump re-entered the race for this election cycle. The stock's rise on Monday was accompanied by massive trading volume as more than 76 million shares changed hands. That is 10 times the stock's 30-day average. Trump, the majority shareholder of the company, the stock fell almost 50% in the 3 weeks following his hush money trial. But on Monday had a huge jump, 30% increase in the value of Trump Media stock. Truth Social has struggled to grow its user base, and the company reported a net loss over 300 million in the first quarter of the year. But that doesn't matter. People are buying it anyway. And as long as people are trading the stock, buying and selling the stock, then the company will be just fine. I just thought that was kind of interesting. It's the phenomenon we always see, but we don't normally see on Wall Street. You know, I mean, it's kind of unusual for it to happen in the business world. And a couple of other items here among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. A couple of Ohio notes. A Hollywood-sized film production studio is coming to Central Ohio. Fallback Studios says it recently purchased a 250,000-square-foot building on a 15-acre site in Dublin, which will become one of the first Hollywood-caliber facilities in the Midwest. Kind of cool. There have been a number of movies being filmed all over the state just this year. They recently wrapped a film for, what is it, a Hulu production that was filming in Toledo and Sandusky and other places in Northwest Ohio. Cincinnati recently wrapped filming on some production. Cleveland, Columbus. I mean, they've all been sites of Hollywood film production. And now the Buckeye State getting its own Hollywood caliber studio facilities. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And hunters, if you are a hunter, make note of this. Ohio hunters can now enter for a chance to be selected for a special hunt on public land. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources says that applicants will be selected to take part in controlled hunts for deer, doves, pheasants, quail, squirrel, and waterfowl. They will take place on public land during the 2024 and 2025 hunting seasons, and you have until the end of this month, July 31st, to apply, which can be done on the ODNR website. That from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. So if you are a hunter, I wanted to throw that out there. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly to mostly sunny today with a high around 80, partly cloudy tonight, a low around 60. The Ohio State Highway Patrol is investigating a fatal motorcycle crash. It happened on the Ohio Turnpike near State Route 66 in Franklin Township, Fulton County. The Highway Patrol says a Harley Davidson operated by a 65-year-old from New York State was going westbound on the turnpike when he changed lanes and lost control, and that caused the motorcycle to overturn. The man succumbed to fatal injuries at the scene of the crash. Get more on the crash in this story on our website. Nearly $900,000 in grant funding will be used to help bring justice to sexual assault victims in Ohio.
It's part of a new state program called Ohio Sexual Assault Investigations Grant Program to analyze sexual assault kits and submit any suspect DNA profiles into a national database. The program was created to help with the costs associated with the investigations, criminal prosecution, and victim advocacy.
ONN's Yolanda Harris reporting. The city of Findlay is letting residents know about streets that the street department will be milling and paving over the next few weeks. The streets include Bluebonnet Drive, Bittersweet Drive, William Street, Imperial Lane, and the downtown alley between East Crawford Street and East Sandusky Street. Anyone with questions can contact the Public Works Department, and we have their number and the full list of projects in the story on our website. Blanchard Valley Health System is showing off its new acute rehabilitation unit at Blanchard Valley Hospital. BVHS says in the ARU, patients receive a minimum of 3 hours of physical, occupational, and or speech therapy 5 days each week, which is a more rigorous therapy schedule than a patient might experience in a skilled nursing facility. The facility also features an activities of daily living room where patients can practice everyday activities like using a stove or a washing machine. People interested in touring the acute rehabilitation unit can do so, and we have more information in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So what do you think? Should Findlay put out the welcome mat or put up a do not enter sign when it comes to legalized recreational marijuana dispensaries in the city? Findlay City Council is considering that question, and Mayor Christina Mearn is with us this morning. Mayor Mearn, thanks very much for
dropping
by. Good
to see you, Chris.
Appreciate it. Want to get to that in just a minute, but before we do, I do want to kind of get your thoughts, your reaction on a couple of stories that we have been talking about over the past several days on the program. First of all, Dan Schaefer's promotion to president CEO of the Findlay Hancock County Alliance and leaving the economic development director's position. Your reaction when you heard the news?
Yeah, you know what? I think that's wonderful. Dan is such a wonderful guy, so smart, cares deeply about this community, and I know that he's going to serve that position really well. He's done a wonderful job supporting economic development and leading it over this past year, and I know that that is a really good position for him to move into to help kind of the transition with economic development, but continue to be engaged in the organization and help support the other divisions as well. So I'm really excited for
him. As we were mentioning when we had Dan in on the program earlier this week, filling the position of economic development director is not going to be a heavy lift. That is a pretty desirable position given our community's legacy in that area.
Definitely. And I think we have some really great people that would do a wonderful job here locally. I think there'll definitely be state and national interest if they choose to open it up that broadly. But yeah, it's definitely a desirable position and has a really good support team. Obviously, it's a position I work very closely with. And, you know, having Dan engaged and a very strong board to provide support, I think that they'll do a wonderful job in picking his successor.
That is one of the things that I wanted to ask about. What is the relationship between the mayor's office and the Alliance in general, economic development in particular?
Yeah, so we work really closely together. Obviously, they are a separate private organization, and right. I think that serves our community really well. But we work together constantly. They're reaching out to me. I'm talking to them, whether it's through the Chamber or Convention and Visitors Bureau or Economic Development. You know, we really are all on the same team. So they provide support to me. I provide support to them. And we work all, you know, to better our community.
Fair to say it's one of the reasons why there has been such success.
Definitely. And when I talk to communities across the country, you know, they're always jealous of the model that we have and do believe that it has really provided great success because especially with economic development, the private entity is able to do things working with businesses that are looking at our community in a more confidential manner, being able to work through a lot of the barriers and bring things in kind of a comprehensive package to the city to be able to then hopefully move forward with and support. But they do a ton of vetting on the backside with all the leads that come across and making sure that our community is positioned really well.
The Findlay formula, as it were, in great hands moving forward.
Definitely.
Also, last week, we spoke with Auditor Jim Stasiak. He presented to council earlier this month the popular annual financial report, the simplified and sort of condensed version of the annual report that skips kind of the nerdy accountant stuff in there. Kind of want to get your reaction on those figures. It really shows the city in a pretty solid position financially.
Nothing surprising. Read the nerdy version. But it also really is a recap of pretty much the budget and brief document that shows how the city is allocating our funds.
Right.
We are, you know, largely spending our dollars on our people and making sure, you know, our priorities are safety, you know, safety services, water and sewer and infrastructure are the primary areas, but making sure that we look at our community as a whole and we have to be well-rounded. So investing in our parks, in the airport, in our people is really key. So nothing super exciting. I think it's a good document to continue to educate the public to understand the complexity of city government, but also how we really, our departments and the administration are working really hard to make sure we are financially sound.
A couple of highlights from that report. Again, this is the one that the general public is likely to actually read, certainly more than the comprehensive report. But as we highlighted, and we've talked about it before, very little of what the city of Findlay spends goes towards servicing debt because we don't have very much. A really nice position to be in.
Yeah, so I think, you know, my background is finance and economics. And so when I look at it, definitely it's good to not have heavy carrying costs. And we definitely don't want to be reliant on debt. Mm-hmm. However, I do think that it's something that we also need to use wisely. Debt can be a tool, especially when you can borrow at a lower rate than you can invest your money. So I think that that is a conversation that we will probably have over the next year or so is borrowing money when it is less expensive, and right now we can make more money off of making our investments, it makes sense to protect your cash position. So we have been really wise over the years, and I think you always need to continue to maintain that balance and protect your debt so that if you need to use it for something, you have it. But I think that there is also some flexibility in using that wisely.
In our conversation with Auditor Stasiak about the report, he cautioned against allocating too much of the city's funds toward non-essential spending, recreational quality of life spending, recognizing that that is important and certainly what people are looking for with respect to moving into the area and growth within the area, going back to the economic development question that we were talking about earlier, but really warned against thinking against spending too much of the city's resources in that category and getting into a situation where you've got increased maintenance costs moving forward that aren't accounted for, so on and so forth. Your thoughts on that type of quote-unquote non-essential spending?
Yeah, so I would agree we don't want to spend too much. I think that there is an appropriate amount, though, and I think that we have underinvested in our infrastructure and amenities from a trails development, park development, and park maintenance standpoint over the years. So yes, it may seem like right now we are making a big push for that, and that's because we are. But I think that there is a balance in doing so, and it provides a great return to the community. So I think in the long run, when you invest in park amenities, the recreation complex, you know, one thing that people don't pay a lot of attention to is that our parks and recreation actually bring in a significant amount of money to our community through tournaments, through large community events like the Balloon Fest, different things like that. And so having those amenities is not a sunk cost. It's an investment. And I think we need to look at it as such.
Now, getting back to the question that we started with, this is being considered right now by the city of Findlay, and we're not alone in considering the question of whether to put a moratorium in place on legalized recreational marijuana dispensaries. Mm-hmm. As we know, the voters statewide approved recreational marijuana use in the state of Ohio. So that's left a lot of communities questioning, you know, how much do we want to embrace this? What are your thoughts with respect to recreational marijuana in the city of Findlay?
I think it is a really complex topic that we don't have all the answers on yet. And so that's why we've brought forward the moratorium, to kind of push pause to make sure that we get clearer guidance from the state and execute this really well for our community, whether it is the do not enter or the welcome mat. I think it's really a balance. And a couple of key points that I want to make is, so someone would be able still to grow it in their home. Mm-hmm. Under Ohio law, you cannot smoke it in public spaces, and so right. we will certainly enforce that.
Right.
Now what we're determining through the moratorium would be, okay, are we going to allow dispensaries or commercial cultivation? And if so, what are the parameters that we are going to place around that?
So not necessarily looking at a permanent ban or no. saying that this is not something that we would ever be interested in. What type of a moratorium? Is it open-ended or is there a certain time frame?
Yeah, so the moratorium that we're requesting is 12 months.
Okay.
And the reason being is because, you know, we're expecting that we were supposed to at the end of last year get guidance from the state legislature. They have a deadline of September. So we should get guidance in the next couple of months on mm-hmm. what the parameters, what the restrictions, what advertising, what local municipalities kind of can and cannot do related to restrictions. Once we get that from the state, then we can look at, okay, what can we legally place around restrictions? And then we will determine, okay, based off of those restrictions, does that give us enough comfort to allow a dispensaries? You know, and then we need to look at how do we establish it in zoning. It may be something where we say they're permitted as a conditional use. And then if we start to have a lot of problems, we're able to pull it. We could determine, no, we don't want it at all. Or here's the distance and how we're going to provide guidance on the specific locations that they can go.
I did see an interesting study, a story on the Newswire about an interesting study which shows it's an independent review by the Cannabis Regulation Oversight Office. So this is in Illinois.
Okay.
But they examined adult use cannabis licenses issued by that state to more than 400 businesses between 2020 and 2023. And what they found is that 59% of those licenses were actually issued to minority or women-owned businesses, making that one of the most diverse industries in their state. Does that add anything to the idea that this may be an opportunity for minority and women-owned businesses?
I think that's an interesting data point. I don't think that it really will change my thought process and how we approach this. I think it's looking at long-term, what is the ripple effect impact? You know, mm-hmm. I've had people reach out, and I think people need to look at this as there's a gamut of individuals that are already getting medicinal marijuana in our community
right.
and are having to drive to Bowling Green or other communities to get it. I understand the concerns, and personally, I would have rather have seen it as a classified, you know, kind of regulated mm-hmm. Medication
right.
Than just kind of, you know, no bounds.
Mm-hmm.
So there certainly is a lot of factors, you know, looking at the tax revenue that it brings in. How do we regulate it appropriately if we do allow it? What is our community's utilization or opinion of it? What is, you know, the Adamus board has shared information on, mm-hmm. you know, some of the pros and cons.
Right.
I think this is a substance that we've had a lot of prejudice and misinformation about over the years. And I think we're wiser about the risks of it. But I think there's still a lot of concern. And so I think we need to just approach it in a really wise manner. And that's the conversation that we're preparing to have with council.
And obviously not the last time we will have this conversation.
Not at all. We are just starting.
By a long shot. Again, Findlay Mayor Christina Mern with us this morning. Mayor Mern, thanks very much for taking
the
time.
Chris. Great to see you as always.
Well, you know, we mentioned yesterday on the program that package delivery drivers are going to be very busy over the next few days because Amazon Prime Day is happening this week. The deals continue today. Special deals abound, of course, as well as some that you would rather avoid. We're talking about counterfeit merchandise and just outright scams, things that aren't really deals at all that you would be better off skipping on Amazon Prime Day or really any time. Joining us this morning is Lane Montz. He is President CEO of the Better Business Bureau. And Lane, obviously, you know, we all love, you know, finding deals, and some seem too good to be true. That really is kind of the basic word of advice that we always hear. If it seems too good to be true, though, it just might be.
Well, that's always good advice, Chris. And by the way, thanks for having me on. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I grew up in Findlay. I'm from Findlay, so I love Findlay and I love the FIN audience. So I'm glad to be here. So, yeah, I mean, Amazon Prime has grown into almost a national set of holidays, right?
Yeah.
But just as the consumers are happy for it, and just as Amazon obviously is happy for it, the scammers, particularly the sophisticated ones, they're super happy about Amazon Prime Day because they're going to make a lot of money too.
So what are some of the more common things that we need to watch out for, especially with so many people shopping online? And again, as you alluded to, it's not just Amazon anymore. I mean, you know, Walmart, Target, other retailers have kind of joined in to get their piece of the pie as well.
Yeah, they've joined in. And again, so have the criminal organizations
right.
that run these massive technologically based scams. So the most common, and for a lot of listeners, this will not be a surprise. And I preface this, I say that because it's not always just the deal that's too good to be true. A lot of these scams, Chris, they rely on two things: the busyness of our lives mm-hmm. and our reliance on technology, which happens to catch us in a moment of weakness, and we click on a link that we probably shouldn't have clicked on, right? Because we probably do have packages coming from Amazon. Whether it's from Prime Day or not, we order a lot of stuff online. Stuff is en route. So when we get one of those fake texts or fake emails that has a click this link because your package is held up or click to confirm delivery, those are very enticing. And so the deal may already be done. You may have stuff en route.
Mm-hmm.
They're relying on the hectic pace of our lives and our reliance on technology to make it easier, because it makes them easier to get your money and get your personal information.
And
that's the number one. I'm sorry to talk, but that's the number one scam, the fake links about delivery.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, those can come in the form of text messages and or emails.
They can, and the reason I lead with that, not only is it the most prevalent kind of scam, but also, you know, Amazon Prime Day, it's really 2 days, right? It ends today,
mm-hmm.
but the delivery of those items will continue for the next couple of days.
Right.
So, you know, don't let your guard down just because Amazon Prime ends tonight,
mm-hmm.
because the scam is going to continue. It's going to pick up steam for probably the next week.
Yeah. And it's easy to lose track of, I mean, some people are buying a lot of things, so it's easy to lose track of whether or not you've gotten all of your deliveries yet. You know, I mean, you'll probably get several of these notices, both legitimate ones mixed in with the fake ones. So definitely want to stay on alert. What are some of the other things that you see? And again, they kind of sometimes transcend Prime Day, but especially right now.
Yeah, so of course the delivery ones will continue. They'll never go away, but they're going to be especially heated over the next week. But some of the other ones are just clicking on a deal that, like you said, is too good to be true, a hard-to-find item or a price that seems suspiciously low. You got to look out for counterfeit websites. That's a big one. And we've had that problem. We've helped consumers here at the BBB. They click on a website. It looks like a real website because the scammers copied a real website. Mm-hmm. The difference is it's not a secured website, and it's a total fake. So they change a little bit of the web address. They change a little bit of the link information, the URL, and instead of sending you to a legitimate retailer, even Amazon, they fake Amazon and eBay sites. Instead of sending you to a legitimate retailer, it sends you to a fake retailer whose website looks the same, smells the same, you know. It seems like it must be a rose because it smells like a rose, but no, it's a fake. And we have seen that particularly for vehicles, but for all kinds of products, that, especially popular ones. So you just got to be careful. You got to look at that website. If the price is too good or you don't recognize the retailer, you know, you can check BBB.org. You can check the BBB Institute for Marketplace Ethics. Both have great information on how to detect and discern fake websites. But really avoid that because everything you do on that website is going to send your information and your money to the scammers.
Yeah, and just to underscore, it's not really selling you a product for a certain amount of money that is what they're after. They're after your personal information and your credit card numbers and all of that. So, it's about more than just getting a bad product.
Yeah, well, they'll take your money, too. But, yes, you're correct. I mean, they're happy to take your money anytime you're happy to part with it.
Yeah.
But, yes, you're correct. They're getting that information for the long play down the road. And, by the way, a lot of those look-alike fake websites and fake product advertisements, those will come to you through social media outlets. Mm. So if you're getting your shopping ideas from social media, any of the social media platforms, that's where you have to be particularly careful because that's where the criminals have found that people are the most likely, most susceptible.
Yeah.
Clicking on something that's pushed to them from Facebook or Instagram, that's where you got to be especially careful.
And suddenly you're on a site that looks like it's Amazon or something like that, but it's not. What about the question? One of the things that people need to understand, and again, this goes all the time with not just Amazon, but many online retailers. Walmart is the same way. There are an awful lot of third-party sellers that are on these platforms. It's not just when you're buying from Amazon. You're just buying from Amazon. There are a lot of third-party sellers there. Is there any way to recognize whether these third-party sellers are selling things that are of poor quality or even counterfeit merchandise?
Right, so that's a little bit of a different question than frauds and scams, right? Because it's not necessarily a crime or wrong to sell cheap crap, for lack of a better word.
Right.
There's always been lower quality knockoff products, and those are not going away either. That's not necessarily a crime, so that's more an issue of judgment. And I guess I would say, the old rule, you get what you pay for, often applies. But as far as knowing about a particular third-party seller, here are some red flags. If they're asking you to pay with a gift card, if they're asking you to pay with some sort of what we call peer-to-peer cash apps, like Cash App or Zelle, if those kinds of payment systems are not really what legitimate merchants use. So, you want to pay with a credit card or a debit card that has some fraud protection baked into it in case you do get taken advantage of. You don't ever want to pay with a cash transfer app or a prepaid gift card. Those are big red flags that third-party reseller is just going to take your money and you're never going to see anything.
Yeah. And again, they can be very difficult to spot because they're right there side by side with the legitimate stuff. In the real world, if you go to a sketchy business, you can kind of get the vibe. Harder to do in an online app. So the onus is really on the consumer to make sure that you are paying attention to what it is that you are actually purchasing. And last but not least, maybe one of the most important things to remember is if you do find yourself having been scammed, report that. And even if you find that you have purchased something that was not the quality of merchandise that maybe you anticipated it to be or that it was made out to be, is there any way of, you know, reporting that, warning other consumers, that kind of thing?
Well, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission's website, FTC.gov, has ways to report that. Your local state attorney general, the Ohio Attorney General, which the BBB does work closely with, may have some remedies. The truth is, though, Chris, the ability to get a remedy after the fact is pretty unlikely. I mean, it can happen. It does occasionally happen.
Yeah.
But you really should assume that if you got scammed, that money is almost certainly gone. Now, your bank may have some protections for you. Your credit card company may have some protections into that merchant card. But it's really a situation where an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure when it comes to online scams. I would make a plug. I will always make a plug for the Better Business Bureau businesses. This is why you mentioned, you know, it's harder to discern. It's harder to tell whether you're dealing with a shady reputation online.
Right.
I mean, you know, Amazon Prime is great. Black Friday is great. They're not going away. There's a place for them. But you know what? A bricks and mortar shop in your hometown, there's no substitute for going down to the store. Somebody that lives in your community that's operating a business, look them in the eye face to face. If you can buy from them, if you can afford to do it, support your local business. It's important.
Exactly. Again, Lane Montz is president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau with us this morning, talking about how to spot scams and other deals that aren't really deals during Amazon Prime Day and really all year round. Very important information to always keep in mind. Lane, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Chris, anytime. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
You remember the story that we had yesterday on the program about the Arby's employees who were caught pilfering hundreds of pounds of the restaurant's roast beef. they were still, we have the meats now. Where was that? Out of Pennsylvania, I think it might have been. Anyway, that story yesterday. This, I guess, a related story, sort of. 400 cases of beef were taken from a cargo truck in Philadelphia on Tuesday morning. Now they have the meats. The driver had parked the truck on 63rd Street near Eastwick Avenue in Philadelphia and later discovered that 12 full pallets of meat were gone. 400 cases. How does that happen? That, I mean, this has got to take some planning. I mean, you can't just spur of the moment steal 12 pallets of meat. Fortunately, no injuries reported, other than the animals who gave up the meat, I suppose. But that is a totally unrelated part of the story. Police still investigating the heist. It is unclear if it is connected to other similar incidents in the city. So they have a lot of unsolved meat thefts in Philadelphia. Just warn you, if you are going to Philadelphia anytime soon and someone comes up to you on the street and wants to sell you a T-bone, it may be hot. That's weird, of all of the things to steal. But anyway, this is kind of weird. A lottery player in Rhode Island recently discovered that he won $1 million, and he didn't even know it. Apparently, Ioannis Miolis, is that how you pronounce it? Ioannis Miolis bought a Mega Millions ticket back in February, shoved it in a drawer, and forgot all about it. He only recently discovered that it was worth $1 million. Apparently, Mr. Miolis bought this ticket for the $333 million jackpot that was drawn on February 2nd. But he forgot that he had bought a ticket because it doesn't normally play the lottery, just stuck it in a drawer. Recently, he went to his junk drawer and discovered, oh yeah, there's that lottery ticket that I bought. Wonder if it's a winner. Sure enough, it was worth $1 million. He has decided to take his winnings and sock them away for his retirement. So, which I would imagine is probably coming much sooner than it would have otherwise had he not rediscovered his winning lottery ticket. Probably going to retire much sooner. Let's see. From the international file in the broken news, a British woman's disability scam came to a screeching halt after... And again, here's another case of people being undone by their own doings on social media. British woman's disability scam came to a screeching halt after she posted photos of herself running marathons on Facebook. Sarah Morris, age 49, had collected $26,000 after claiming severe multiple sclerosis left her struggling to even stand up. According to court records, her lawyer argued that Ms. Morris was diagnosed with MS 19 years ago and that the severity of its impact ebbs and flows to a degree. Morris claims that she used running as a way to try to manage her condition. A judge, however, believed that she was just lying through her teeth and has sentenced her now to 8 months in prison. If you're collecting disability, probably best not to post photos of yourself running in marathons on Facebook. Oops. Okay. Sometimes you don't have to go very far. Certainly don't have to go across the pond to find the broken news. In Northeast Ohio, a former corrections officer has been sentenced for bringing marijuana into the prison to sell to an inmate. 31-year-old Sierra Golden pleaded guilty to a charge of illegal conveyance of drugs into a detention facility after she brought the wacky weed into the facility in Youngstown, the Northeast Ohio Correction Center, to sell to an inmate. Yes, marijuana is legal in the state of Ohio now, but not for inmates. Yeah, you can't do that. The story says Ms. Golden is avoiding jail time. She's actually been sentenced to probation, and the story goes on to point out that the inmate never received the marijuana. No, they're not going to pass that along. And finally, in the broken news this morning, Eamon Kinnevy, Kaveni is how you pronounce it, I guess. Eamon Kaveni has completed a rather unique trek. He has ridden a unicycle across the entire length of Ireland, a 308-mile journey, in 5 days, 5 hours, and 23 minutes. Pretty impressive. The Irishman decided to make the trek because, in his words, quote, it seemed like a perfect mix of daunting and ridiculous, unquote. Mr. Kaveni has a reputation for doing, traveling by unusual means. Let's put it that way, for traveling by unusual means. He has already completed the world's longest barefoot journey. That was back in 2016. This time he decided to ride a unicycle across the entire length of Ireland. And oddly enough, what makes the story even more interesting is that he didn't even know how to ride a unicycle before training for this cross-country trek. So it's not like he had been riding unicycle for years and decided, I'm going to ride my unicycle across the country. No, he picked up the, he learned how to do it simply for this trek. 300, that's actually pretty impressive. The 308-mile journey in 5 days, 5 hours, and 23 minutes. That's pretty impressive. So kudos being able to pull it off. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
The Riverside Civic Concert Series means great music each Wednesday night. Along with the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts, WFIN is proud to emcee another season of concerts at the Bandshell at Riverside Park. This week, the Northwest Ohio Low Brass Collective. Concerts are at 7 p.m., then Sunday morning at 11. We air that week's concert courtesy of Caldwell Banker Flag City. Join us on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. It is World Emoji Day today. In a new survey of 2,000 Americans, this actually demonstrates just how we have embraced emoji since these kind of exploded onto the scene. 41% of Americans in this survey believe that a text message needs an emoji. If it doesn't have one, it just feels incomplete. 4 out of 10 believe it. Text messages need an emoji. It does find that, and 58%. Of those in the survey believe that emoji improve how we communicate with each other. However, 32% say speaking solely in emoji is a conversation killer. So we don't want to use too many of them. 70% of Gen Zers believe an emoji needs to be included, but 32% say too many is not a good thing. So, which emoji do you use the most? The most frequently used emoji include the smiling face, the red heart, thumbs up, rolling on the floor laughing, and the face with tears of joy. Those are the top five emoji. And only 5% of those in the survey say that they do not use emoji at all. Well, yeah, I know we've already started talking about back to school, but hey, summer ain't over yet. And whether you are staying local with the rest of your summer, or maybe you still have yet to head out on vacation, there are easy ways to glam up and go. Lifestyle expert Christine Bibbo-Herr is with us this morning with some tips on how to maintain a fresh look and focus on overall wellness while engaging in all of these summer activities. Christine, you have ways to perfect our summer style, whether it's for the beach, the party, or, you know, just a game of pickleball.
Yes, we're ready to help you shine during the summertime. So I love to find separates that you can mix and match for clothing throughout your wardrobe to give you multiple looks throughout the day. So Tommy Bahama has reversible swimsuits that can go from print to patterns. You can mix and match and get two or more looks for the price of one, depending on how creative you get with your mixing and matching. And also their activewear sets have performance fabric, so you can really get that UPF sun protection, moisture wicking, easy to care for and move in, and then you can wash and rewear them a lot. So great packing pieces. So Tommy Bahama really has something that will help you look and feel fantastic.
So whether you're doing the beach, backyard barbecue, or or all of the above. So
exactly,
there you go. Getting ready to go on vacation. We know that that can be a bit of a hassle when you are traveling, especially when you've got kids involved. How do we keep things clean and families looking their best while traveling?
Yes, well, it's a challenge, but Norwex is a brand that's committed to helping us live cleaner, more environmentally friendly lives. So from their home goods to cleaning products to innovative plant-based skincare, they've got you covered. Their EcoWash laundry detergent strips are liquidless, highly concentrated formula that dissolves quickly, and they get rid of dirt, stains, and odors in all your family's clothes. They're great for travel, and I love to pack them in my Norwex carry-all travel bag. It unzips great. You can hang it on doorknobs or lie it flat. Great for hotel rooms. And they also have their EnviroCloths that come in their travel sets and pack sets. And they are easily, you can wash surfaces easily without using any cleaning products. So just by adding water. So really great for on the go.
It's almost like you're saying that the kids will get into messes while you are traveling. I've never had that be my experience with our kids. But
yes, I have some nieces and nephews that definitely get a little dirty.
He says with tongue planted firmly in cheek. No, it's never happened to me. The beauty world is shifting toward products that offer not only convenience, but multifunctionality. That seems to be kind of a theme that you have going on here. What does that mean for summer self-care?
Yeah, so we want to find beauty products that cover all the bases. So this Works Body Care Collection, it's award-winning, science-backed, and it's proven to leave your skin nourished and glowing all over. So their Perfect Body Vita C Glow is a youth-boosting body brightener that really leaves your skin silky smooth. And they have a smoothing wash, too, which is great for face or body. It has exfoliating fruit acids and PHAs, so it really feels luxurious and soft, revealing smoother, softer skin. And you're sure to smile after your legs have a little extra glow after using the Perfect Leg Skin Miracle Tinted Multivitamin Serum. So all of their products have a fMRI-tested functional fragrance, and it's sweet orange and geranium. It really smells amazing, and it's designed to boost your mood. So I wish you could smell it through the screen or through the phone right here, but it really does smell amazing. And another beauty brand I love is Rhyme & Reason. It's voted number one by Marie Claire, and it's 90% naturally derived. It comes in 100% recycled bottles and caps. It's cruelty-free, vegan-friendly, free of silicone, sulfates, and parabens. And I just love that their shampoo and conditioner now comes with a hydrating, nourishing rosemary scalp serum. So it's a really nice all-in-one package, and it's high-performance hair care that really is great and affordable.
Checking off all of those boxes with that. And what else do we have to help us look and feel our best during these weeks of summer that we have left?
Yes, well, we don't want to catch a summer bug because that ruins all the fun. So why not consider purchasing an air purifier? Blue Air, we're seeing great deals on Blue Air. It's award-winning global leader in air wellness. And their purifiers, their line of the Blue Pure Max is offering major deals right now. And we're seeing they capture 99.9% of airborne particles like viruses, bacteria, even home cooking odors. So it really helps to elevate your home environment and give you control to take over your overall wellness.
And let's be honest, that's something that we really need to pay attention to all year round, not just during the summertime. In fact, you could argue that once we get into the colder weather months, it's even more important since we're spending more time indoors. So good stuff there.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, lifestyle expert Christine Bibbo-Herr with us this morning. Where do we get more information, Christine?
Thank you. You could check out my site, nycpretty.com.
Christine Bibbo-Herr, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That is goodmornings.net. I invite you to visit us online. Coming up tomorrow on the program, artificial intelligence is still a mystery to many folks, but you're already probably interacting with AI technology without even realizing it every time you go shopping. We'll explain. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.